Henry Whipple perhaps had no plans to move west as a young man, but when he married, his wife encouraged him to become active in the church. Soon, his role in the clergy would take him to a new state where his work would become known worldwide. His story is this edition of The American Countryside.
We all know a few fair-weather folks. They're around when the food comes out.
Oh, yeah.
Nowhere to be found when the cows are out. With all life's uncertainties, you want a reliable partner. With you, rain or shine. When it comes to nitrogen, there's a new, predictable choice. Pivot BioProven. The tiny nitrogen-producing microbes that have a big impact on your bottom line. Pivot BioProven. Predictable. Productive. Weatherproof. Get a reliable partner. Get the new nitrogen. Get Pivot BioProven.
A Farming the Countryside podcast, we're talking about the stories, tips, and trends affecting agricultural and rural America. What can you expect in the markets? How do you evaluate new technology? What are the latest trends when it comes to successful crop and livestock operations? Those topics and many more are our weekly focus with guests from across the nation. Farming the Countryside is brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Find the Farming the Countryside podcast on the AgriTalk app or just use your favorite podcast platform. And you can follow our show on Facebook. Catch Farming the Countryside for a weekly look at the stories affecting rural and agricultural America. Henry Whipple was born in 1822 in New York State. At the age of 20, he married Cornelia Wright. Her influence on his life would shape his career.
She's actually the one that convinced him to pursue ordination and to join the Episcopal Church.
Sue Garwood at the Rice County Historical Society says that in 1859, the Convention of U.S. Bishops elected him to become the first bishop of Minnesota. He came to the town of Faribault, where an Episcopal missionary, James Lloyd Breck, had plans to build a cathedral and school.
But it was Bishop Whipple who took Breck's vision and really made that a reality. He built the cathedral. He built Shattuck, St. Mary's, and St. James. St. Mary's was a girls' school. Shattuck, of course, was the boys' school.
Those schools, now over a century and a half old, attract students from near and far to the campus on the bluff overlooking the confluence of the Strait and Cannon Rivers. And the cathedral still holds services today. But it was also during the 1860s that the first bishop of Minnesota saw a problem developing between peoples.
He became aware of the tension and the conflict and the way that the Dakota were being treated. They had been relegated to reservations.
Tensions grew. The Dakota did not receive the pensions due them by the U.S. government. Crop failures left many starving. In the summer of 1862, that tenuous situation erupted.
A group of young, angry Native Americans came and attacked a settler community and killed several settlers, and thus the U.S. Dakota War began.
The U.S. military subsequently captured, tried, and sentenced over 300 Dakota to be hanged. Bishop Whipple would soon find himself advocating for the Dakota in front of President Abraham Lincoln. That part of the story next time as we travel the countryside in Faribault, Minnesota. I'm Andrew McCray.